Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
ta-da! I'm living proof, baby. Miracles happen.
How about that?
You laugh, Alan, but Google's bailed me out of a lot of things. I'm telling you, I had muscle cramps. It said eat walnuts, almonds, and bananas. I've been eating them like crazy. No cramps. Who needs doctors when you got Google?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
That's right. Thank you, Rick Regan. Welcome to the RP Show, everybody, as I share the show to all my groups. And Powerade is the drink of choice today. And water. How you doing, Dukes?
How about that?
Yeah,
water. It's good for you.
Regina Rams alumni, Regina Pat's hot takes, Rod Peterson's VIP sports group, and shared. Boom. There you go. Welcome to the show.
That got everybody. Me really sad yesterday when I saw it pop up into the trip group.
Yeah.
From last year, because then it just, it hits.
Actually, it's funny because 1 year ago today, you know, I don't usually keep bad memories on my Facebook feed, so the good ones are on there, right? 1 year ago today, we were at the Toyota Center in Houston, and the Rockets put Rod Peterson Show up in their marquee lights.
That was cool.
At the Toyota Center, the James Harden-less Houston Rockets, and Russell Westbrook. What are we going to do? Are we going to paint this? Claire, you got a Houston Rockets or a Westbrook? We'll get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And hi. How do you like us so far? It is Wednesday, December the 9th. Canada's daytime sports talk show is on the air. I'm Rod. He's Dupes. I will get to your comments in a moment. You know, they're just raining in, right?
Oh,
people
yeah.
just can't wait to talk sports. And that's what we do here. But we do have an order of things that we do. And one of those is announce who's going to be on the show today. I'm excited to have John Paddock on the air. I'm disappointed that he's not coming into the bunker. I don't know where he's at. We'll find out from Clark where John Paddock is, but he's going to be doing via video call. And the reason I'm disappointed is the last time he came in here, he was like most sports personalities looking around going, this is amazing. I could spend some time here. This is fun. So I was hoping that we would be able to do that with John Paddock today. And then I find out it's a video call. But I'm still going to ask him those questions about what he loved about Philly because he coached it there for so long, right? He's in the American Hockey League Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And obviously WHL stuff and so forth. But John Paddock coming in hour one and Arash Madani in hour two with a ton of things to talk about with Sportsnet's Arash Madani, not the least of which, of course, is the Lou Marsh Award, which went yesterday split. Just after we got off the air at the end of the show, Lou, LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, you would think that will become a household name.
Yeah, you would think so.
Or roll off my tongue a little better. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and Alfonso Davies splitting the Lou Marsh Award yesterday. Just hang on, everybody. We're getting, the comments are coming in like, I can't even look at them, eh?
I know.
Because it's just so much. Just hang, can you let me get through the preamble? Let's go to the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. Let's do that. Thank you. Well, I guess we could have delayed this. Did you watch Tuesday Night Football last night?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I've realized? Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens humiliated the Dallas Cowboys 34-17 in Baltimore. And what I've realized is I should just back away from my phone when the Cowboys are playing. Because I tweet irrationally and emotionally. Actually, when the Pats were losing in the WHL final in 2017, I was swearing on Twitter. People didn't like that's, you know what I mean? When your team is getting spanked.
Oh, yeah.
You shouldn't swear on Twitter. And you just should stay away from social media when your team's playing and they're crapping the bed.
Because
you say things you regret. And there's no going back. See you, Paul. Nice seeing you. Thanks for the visit. You betcha. So anyways, the one thing I said yesterday, and I was waiting for the cancel crowd to come after me, because I said, if I was Jerry Jones, I would wear a mask too. And you know why?
Yes. It should be
one that would cover my full face.
You want to hide.
If I own, I'd want to hide. I wouldn't want anybody, like those Leaf fans that wear the bags over their heads, you know?
Yeah.
The owner should be wearing a bag over his head with the Dallas Cowboys. And I was waiting for somebody with the cancel mob, some Karen, to say, you're supposed to be wearing a mask anyways. Nobody said that. For the first time in my life, they all got my humor.
That's amazing.
You're telling me.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah. It's not good in Dallas. It's not good. You know, Mike McCarthy does not have the locker room. It's, yeah, not. And there was times in that game where you still, that's probably the pain of the Cowboys. You still thought, we got a chance. We're still in this game.
No. I knew they were going to lose. Well, maybe. Monty is a Cowboy fan, one of our regular viewers from Saskatoon, the former Huskies equipment guy. And he writes me, it was like second quarter, and said, our team sucks, Rod. You know how Monty yes. is. And I said, actually, it looks like we might win this one.
Doing okay. It was 17-10. And this is the part where they lost me was they kind of waited around at the end of the half. And then the deep ball to CeeDee Lamb goes right through his hands. He could have caught it.
Oh, yeah.
He almost had it. And if you're tied going into the break, it's a much different football game than being down 7.
Connor's watching in Yorkton. He says, this is the best morning show in Canada. You're right. And it's also the only morning show in Canada. But we'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move on from the Cowboys to point 2. Dez Bryant tweets that he's done. You knew that he would backtrack. I mean, my phone blew up last night, which is another reason to just put my phone aside. People were saying, Dez Bryant's done. He's quit. And as you probably know, this is what I couldn't figure out. I'm watching the pregame show. You saw they were at the Santa Monica Pier. Did you see the pregame show on Fox?
No, I missed the pregame.
But they're normally at that pier, so you know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay Glazer's on that fake turf with Howie Long.
Yep.
And Gonzalez. And they're like, Jay Glazer has just broken the news that Dez Bryant's been pulled off the field and won't play because he's tested positive for COVID. I'm like, he's standing right there. How could he have broken the news? He's 3,000 miles away. Somebody clearly in the stadium texted Jay Glazer and said, because he's the NFL insider for Fox, that like Dez broke the story from what I could see.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you, I happened to be watching Fox. Did anybody else have the story?
And he said he's going to quit.
Well, Dez said he was going to quit.
Dez says he's done. But, you know, Jay must have somebody in there, or he must have somebody walking around with a camera. He's got eyes in the stadium, clearly, but that's how good those insiders are.
Yeah. So anyways, did you think for 1 second that Dez Bryant was going to retire? Because I didn't. I'm like, come on. Do you actually think he's going to quit and walk after what he's been through in his life, let alone the last few years? Can you understand that a guy's just letting off some steam and it doesn't make any sense that he'd been tested multiple times all week, was tested earlier in the day and it was inconclusive or at least, you know, at best negative. And then in warm-up, they test him again and he tests positive. He's like, what? What's changed? That's what he's saying. And yet, look, this is what you don't understand, and I'm getting hung up on my points here, but it's getting incredibly tedious for everybody. You don't see it on TV, but all these medical people running around, sticking a swab up your nose, or whatever they're doing for being tested multiple times and the pink gun on your head, they're getting tired of it.
Yeah,
they are making millions, but Dez is just like, what? I'm out. I'm done. And you could, not for a third of a second did I think that he was serious.
No, he was frustrated, right? It wasn't, probably not serious, but he was frustrated. You could tell right away. And that's difficult, you know, especially when you go through all the hoops and hurdles. And for him, he's not worried about all that stuff right now. That's all side noise. He's seeing, I'm playing against the Cowboys.
That's all. How long had he been waiting for that?
So you got to understand how frustrating that would be for him.
So I guess, I don't know, if you... Don't tweet me when the second you have a thought about these things. That's why I got to start putting my phone away.
Yeah.
Hey, point 3, and I meant to finish this out, but do you have your Power 5 NFL rankings off the top of your head?
Absolutely.
I see that you're that's becoming your thing.
Yeah.
What are they?
Kansas City 1, New Orleans 2, Buffalo 3, Pittsburgh 4, and Cleveland 5.
Same again?
Yep. Kansas City 1.
Yep.
New Orleans 2.
Yep.
Buffalo 3.
Yep.
Pittsburgh 4 and Cleveland 5.
Getting any argument from people on that?
Not as much as I thought I would get. And to be honest, I thought about dropping Pittsburgh out of the top 5 altogether. And then Green Bay and LA, I thought they could maybe jump into it. But it's been pretty good. It's went over pretty well. I'm surprised.
Just so you know, USA Today's came out this morning. Chiefs, Saints, Steelers, Packers, Bills.
Okay.
So the only difference for you and them is the Browns and the Packers.
Yeah.
So Richie Roy is watching, our favorite magician. And by the way, it's a long list of magicians that we like. He says Ben Roethlisberger tested positive for everything except COVID. Hey, come on. He's found God. And it's working. That's just a joke, right?
Yeah, of course.
Those days are behind him.
Of course.
Moving on, point four. I needed a bit of a pick-me-up after some phone conversations yesterday. The hockey buzz is not good. So I'm following the coverage just like all of you, but I think we realize, you know, you've got NHL sources. I have NHL sources. My NHL sources are very good. Very, very good. And when you see the coverage on the network saying the money issues have just been put aside and they're planning on playing January 13th, we're not on national TV, so I'm going to use this term, my brother's term. It's all pixie dust and unicorn piss. You know what I mean? It's all fantasy land right now in the NHL. The players haven't even voted yet on whether they're going to accept the terms of going back to play. They haven't even voted yet. And I'm not going to out my sources, but let's just say there are a lot of NHL players that don't want to play this year. There's a lot of players that also, by the way, need the money, but there's more that if they had their druthers, won't play. Now, I'm not saying there won't be a season, but what I'm saying is there's so much more going on under the surface that people don't even know about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And it's not just about do they love the game and want to play. It's do they want to play and have to go through, you know, extended road trips, potentially, you know, multiple games in a row on certain nights, testing all the time, you know, going through all those different things. Like, that test is not the most pleasant thing I've heard to go through. So there's a lot of that, staying away from your family, potentially catching the virus.
All these reasons.
There's a lot.
Yep.
And then there's money, and then there's travel, and then there's, you know, how's this going to play out down the road? So it's not something that I expect to get resolved soon. And it needs to be if they're going to play in January. So it's more and more looking like it's, at the very least, we're into February now.
Well, just everybody's, I'm starting to ask the questions that people don't want to have asked of them. And it's, are you for real or are you just trying to keep morale up? And more than anything, I'm getting the answer of, we're just trying to be positive and keep morale up. So we're going to get hoofed in the nuts here at some point again.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like to me. So I needed a bit of a pick-me-up. Coming in here usually does that for me. And talking to you people, like Larry in Medicine Hat says, Rod, is that a NASA ornament on your tree? It is. We were at NASA just over a year ago. That came up in my memories, too.
Wow.
That was on the RP Show sports trip with Uniglobe LGI Travel. It was amazing. Nice. Down to you. You got to come with us, Larry, sometime on one of our sports trips. Next time, we're going to Florida. I need to pick it up and speed it up here. All kinds of comments coming in from folks. Point five, here's one that I'm not going to spend a ton of time on, but I saw from the Twitter account, CFL News, Farhan Lalji saying on Edmonton Radio that he speculates a $200,000 cap on CFL quarterback salaries is coming and that it'll be in place for a long time. I didn't really delve into that. I didn't go back and listen to the podcast interview. I just, again, what are we, headline readers? I got a lot of stuff fighting for my attention. So that cap on salaries, Lynch broke it Friday, by the way. The 83-year-old scoopmeister of the CFL, John Lynch, broke the news of a quarterback cap coming. And the amount's been fluctuating, but Farhan's hearing $200,000 per year. Point six, did you have something? No. Point six. Edmonton head coach Scott Milanovic telling 630 Chet Edmonton on the coach's show, they've announced a six-man coaching staff for Edmonton. Don't know what to say about that. Not overly surprised. The wording of the article was a little confusing as to who's going to be brought back and who's being let go from last year's Edmonton staff. Let me just say, none of it is good. But buckle up, baby. This is where we're going in the CFL. And some extra points. Our rock star of the day yesterday was Devin Haru from the CBC. He'll be winning a rock star hat. And by the way, did you notice in where I was in Shoppers Drug Mart yesterday, taking photos, proving that we are the sweatpants capital of North America, one of the workers there asked if he could have a rock star hat. So I'm going to take him one. Are we all okay with that?
We're good with that. Oh, yeah. That's what it's for, right? He's the rock star.
He's the rock star. He's working on the front lines.
Exactly. Providing that essential service. That's what it's all about. When we started this with the rock star of the day, that's what it's really for.
And rock stars.
And for rock stars. Community rock stars.
Yeah.
And that's unreal. And it's funny, when you I saw the first one you put up, the sweatpants, and I'm like, that's Kaylee.
You thought it was my daughter.
And yeah. So I messaged her right away. I'm like, she's going to be steaming.
She thought it was funny.
Good.
She was sitting at the island in our kitchen when you texted her.
I'm like, nice sweatpants. And she's like, are you at the gym?
She's like, why is Darren texting me that me at Shoppers? I'm like, I have no idea. Oh, he thinks that's you in the picture.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Can you put the comment up from Jack in Alberta, please, regarding misinformation, if you guys can find it? And I'm going to go real fast through the... Rod, there is so much misinformation out there. It's more frustrating than COVID itself. Can't believe anything anybody says except on the RP show. I appreciate that. I was talking to one of our viewers in North Dakota yesterday, and he was talking about how popular the show is in North Dakota and how they like the real talk. And I said, listen, you may not like what I have to say, but you can always take to the bank. I got to tell you what I believe to be the case. And I know for a fact there's misinformation out there because I know... I'll just stop there. You won't get it. I'm kind of sitting here going, I don't know what to say on a daily basis because I know what you're putting out is wrong. I know you don't feel that way. So what are we supposed to say?
It's so tough, right?
It's very tough.
All we can do is look through the lens of, you know, critical thinking and understand how it applies and, you know, what's actually possible. Like, do you think January 1st in the NHL is possible? No. Do you think the 13th is possible? Start, you know, working back from there to figure out what has to happen to get there. And you start realizing, hey, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
John in Winnipeg's watching. John Ohm. Ohm. That was awesome sweatpants shots, Rod. Now only if I could wear them to my office. LOL. I'm wearing sweatpants. You're not.
No.
Not those kind of look like stretchy sweatpants.
They're very comfortable kind of jeans.
Yeah, we are in the sweatpants capital. And I'm proud to say that I wore them most every day. I see that we got Trent in Norway calling. Let's put that up. Where's my flag? I got so much stuff accumulated. I don't want to call it junk. Stuff accumulated. Trent in Norway. Norway calling. Mr. Lynch got it right on the quarterbacks. Frenzy got that right. Six coaches for Edmonton in the CFL. Do we get Canadian quarterbacks instead of Americans? Great to see a double winner of the Lou Marsh Award for both types of football. Stay safe, everyone. Trent checking in from Norway. The North Dakota viewers wondered why we hadn't checked in from Trent lately. They wanted to make sure he was okay. So
that's good.
So he's fine. Listen, and a couple last points here, and then we're going to bring in John Paddock. One, BC Hockey League delays the start of the regular season until the new year. Who didn't see that happening? Their top medical doctor, Dr. Bonnie Henry, who's probably been in the news more than any other chief medical provincial top doctor in the country, wouldn't you say?
I would agree with
that. She's met with the BC Hockey League officials, and she said, guys, yeah, I know that it's tough and challenging. It's challenging for everybody. And she said, we don't want people going from community to community. You understand that? She's being honest. It's very similar to what I said earlier. You don't like what I have to say, but I'm going to be honest with you. She's being honest.
Yeah.
This doesn't look that good. And for Max Pacioretty, the last thing with the Golden Knights, I had somebody write me and say, well, how does it feel, you know, for Pacioretty? Are team players not going to want to go to Vegas because they come in for a year and they're gone for salary cap reasons? I was going to look up what Pacioretty is making this year. I think it's $6.5, $7.5 million. That's part of the deal, folks. Because Patches could rip up the contract. Say, like, how much do you want to stay in Vegas, Max? Oh, you don't want to because the union would be upset? You can't rip up your contract? Then you're going to be shipped out. That's part of the deal when you're making this amount of money. Again, unless you want to sign a new deal to stay in Vegas to fit under the cap, which I don't think he'd want to do.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he knows what his worth is, and he's probably right. That's what Brendan Gallagher's making now in Montreal. So I want to talk to John Paddock about that when we come back. It's not just going to be junior talk, but that's my take. The Golden Knights are my team, and I love Max Pacioretty. He's one of their best players, but he makes too much money. So unless he was willing to take less, This is how it works. We'll be back in a moment. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace, your home for the NFL. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. The show continues. Canada's daytime sports talk show, episode number 377. Rob Vanstone writes in from the Leader Post. He says, man, I miss shooting the breeze with John Paddock. Looking forward to this segment. Let's bring him in now, the general manager of the Regina Pats. And I know everybody kind of misses those scrums with the coach and the GM. He joins us today. How are you doing, John?
I'm good, Rod. Thanks. How are you?
Good. I watched the Zoom call that you did last week with the media. Thanks for that. A lot of the questions here today are going to be different from what you answered there last week, but one's the same. How are you filling your days these days? What's keeping you busy getting ready for this season?
Well, some ways not a lot, but I think there's always been a fair amount going on, just talking with personnel within the league, talking to your fellow general managers periodically. I'm on the competition committee. We probably average a couple, calls a month. I got to see four or five midget and bantam games back in October and November. So there's something to do, but it's just certainly a lot different.
You know, I apologize if this comes out as a stupid question, but you've been in this game forever. Is this the most challenging thing you've ever faced in your time, player or coach or management?
Well, certainly the most challenging thing in a obviously a very serious tone. It's a worldwide thing. You might deal with, numerous things within an organization or within a team that are pretty relevant, pretty serious at that very moment or in a short time frame, but this is something that's worldwide that's affecting everybody in some way, shape, or form. So it's certainly a big deal, and it's being treated as a big deal.
No question. From the health concern and then also how you're going to play. And I understand there's people that don't want sports playing, but you guys want to play. We want you to play. And the question is how you're going to play. And I guess that's my next question. I've talked to a lot of GMs that have literally said, we don't know yet how it's going to look. Like, it is a month away, John. Is that the case? You don't necessarily know January 8th how you're going to do it, but you plan to do it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that the how to do it is probably narrowing in. So much of it is out of our hands, and I say our hands, the league's hands, but it's also all within our hands and their hands. As I just mentioned, the people you talk with, different committees, there's been a lot of information, a lot of tentative plans given to the head government people, the head medical people in each jurisdiction, being the four Western provinces and two states in the U.S. And then it goes from there. So we certainly have input, and because there's different plans set forth, that's why I believe we're going to play, because the governments are going to okay something at some point. I just read, I knew Winnipeg had got okay for the NHL training camp starting January 3rd. Read a short article on it, and somebody, either hypothetically or real, was questioning their medical advisor. And he said, well, they proved it in the summertime. And, they certainly have more at their disposal than we do, but there's going to be testing. I don't know whether it's every day or not. It's going to be basically a bubble. That's why they're going to play. And to maybe a little bit lesser extent, that's why we're going to play, I believe.
This is great, by the way, and I appreciate the info. And Darren, please track these questions that are coming in, because there's a million. John, you can imagine the Winnipeg people want to know what it was like to coach Timu and stuff like that. Look, we'll get to that. But the one major shock to me through this, I got to think it was the same for you, is where sports rates in the world, because it's been our whole lives. Like Alan Miller sat across his desk from me like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and he's like, look, we're not a priority. And he got it. Like he was very humble about it. But from a health perspective, sports isn't. And we've never faced that before, John. That's been a bit of an eye opener.
Yeah, for sure we're not. Like we're not in the ways of, I believe personally, in the vaccine. Like the vaccine is certainly going to come. It's going to come probably albeit slowly in Canada, based on the stuff you read, even though it's maybe going to be available to the most important people, the medical people, sometime in the new year. But I would think, and just my opinion, I would think that teenage players, teenagers, period, but teenage hockey players that are healthy and fit are probably substantially low down the totem pole when the vaccine is at full up and running. That's just the way it would be. That's the way it should be. So that's certainly an area of priority there that is, it'll come at some point, but when that is, it'll be quite a bit later than now.
Just a fun question on Connor Bedard, if you don't mind. Obviously, we've all been following his progress, not as closely as you, but I've got a point per game prediction for him. Craig Button was on here Monday. He says 0.75, 0.8 per game. Maybe you don't even like hearing that stuff, but what's your expectation for Connor here in his exceptional player season?
Well, I've certainly thought about it. It's probably, I don't know that it's irrelevant in this even more bizarre year than usual for, you know, him being a 15-year-old playing. A lot is to do with the players around him. We think we have a solid team around him, whether it's, you know, as much skill as there'll be in a couple of years, like that's debatable. But I looked at Connor last year when I saw him play a handful of times, second half of the season, and when I'd come back and I would talk to Dave, I said, like, I think he's, and this is to do with points, but it's not to do with points because there's other things. But I said, I think at 15, he's, you know, he can accomplish what Sammy did at 16. And Sammy was a very, very good player, obviously, for us his whole 4 years. At 16, I think he was around a point a game, maybe just under. He sprained his ankle there, was super bad in March, so that killed things. But that's probably in the 0.75 to 1 point a game ratio, if I'm thinking back to Sammy's thing. And I'm not really looking at production, as I said, but I think that's where he was at as a player, in my view, last spring.
Yeah, imagine what you could have done maybe in the playoffs just to have Sam healthy. At 16, I think he would have made a difference as to how things turned out. To the fun questions from John in Winnipeg, wants to know what it was like to coach Teemu Selänne. I'm sure you've been asked a million times, but I haven't asked you that. What was it like?
Well, he was an electrifying player. You know, I won't say more so in that day, but, you know, the game has become about speed for, I don't know, the last 10 or 12 years. It wasn't quite so much about speed then as far as a team or as far as the entertainment value of a team or how hockey was viewed. But Teemu had speed for sure. He played with speed. It allowed our team to be faster as a team. So it was, you know, it was tremendously exciting at that rookie season and all the seasons. And I think the other thing was that there was all of a sudden, you know, fairly quickly into the season, there was a media following that one can only happen in Canada, but had never been experienced, you know, probably by Winnipeg, maybe the Bobby Hull days, would there be less media? You know, it was something to go to all the cities and be at home with the media attention he brought us.
I bet. Why do players struggle to score 50 now when the game's all about skill and there's no obstruction, yet back then there was a ton of 70 plus goal scores? What, it doesn't compute to me.
Well, that's a pretty good question for sure. I don't know that there's an exact answer, but I think that the overall skill level is higher, but the overall coaching avenues available to coaches is far more. And so I think that coaches can take, to some extent, the scoring out of the game, or keep it lower. But it's sort of hard to imagine. But I don't think that one thing, in my personal opinion, is the taking the red line out has made the game faster, for sure. But I don't think it makes it more offensive. Like, I think that's just a fallacy that people thought. So it's pretty interesting, because there's certainly great players, a lot of great players, but there's only Ovechkin and maybe Matthews will continue that are scoring at anywhere close to that pace.
Yeah, what's funny, and Wendell said it, with no red line, for whatever reason, we don't ever see a 3-on-2 anymore. We never do. So that might be part of the reason. Goalies are better now. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons, but I haven't quite been able to put my finger on it. And, John, our show airs on Philadelphia cable TV. We get a lot of viewers writing us from Philadelphia, and it's kind of fun, you know. And obviously, you know, your stature in that city in your time, American Hockey League Hall of Fame. What is it that makes Philly so special and tough, and why is it so revered as a American city?
Well, I don't know. They really galvanize behind their sports teams, good or bad. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's the Eagles are taking a bit of a beating right now, I would guess. But it's a great sports town, and you can say that about a lot of places. And so what's the difference? I don't know. You know, in hockey, it's maybe because they won pretty quick in the expansion era there, 7 years in. And then those players, Clark and et cetera, Schultz and Perrant, and the whole group of them became icons and, you know, were revered throughout the city. And it was just a great big continuous love affair for the most part for the hockey team. I think blue collar, viewed as a blue collar city, if you demonstrate that as a team. And it may be a little bit easier to show that in hockey with how the game is played, but they really take to you. But it's the same. It's not the same game with baseball, but a player like Chase Utley was really revered there because, you know, he could just sort of sense that he was this black and blue collar worker, sort of like Clark was for hockey. He was for baseball. So they really take to those kind of people.
I bet. Well, and but that's the thing. This Philly media has had me on their shows, and they want to talk about Brian Propp and, you know, like Sask guys or Prairie guys. You mentioned Bobby Clark. But I got to say this. I talked to Tiger yesterday, our mutual friend, and I said, Tiger, we had a discussion over who's the toughest NHLer from Saskatchewan ever, and I said, you, Tiger. And he goes, well, I don't disagree. But if not me, he said the Hammer. He goes, the Hammer doesn't get enough credit. And there's a Philly legend right there, isn't there?
That's for sure. That's for sure. When you ask that question, you know, that's pretty tough to answer. There's Tiger, there's Schultze, and he was a little bit different because he was a higher level player. But I don't know if either one of those guys really wanted to fight Clark if he was really mad either. So there's really tough left wingers there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and by the way, Wendell says it's Joe Koser. So what we've discerned is that it's a very long list of great guys.
Right.
All right. John, for this sure has been awesome. I appreciate it. I do miss seeing you too, but I think it won't be long before we're back in the rink. So thanks for the time today and good luck with everything.
Great. Thanks very much, Rod.
You bet. The general manager of the Regina Pats, John Paddock. And we'll take a break and come back and dissect a lot of what he talked about there. It was very positive. And we have a sports update coming too. It is the RP show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I was remiss. I should have mentioned this when we had John Paddock on, and I did not. The Regina Pats are running this Toys for Tots. The entire Western Hockey League is. You can order these T-shirts. This is K9 on the front, one of the greatest mascots in sports. And the proceeds are going to a local community. What did I say? association that needs the money this
time. It's cool. Saskatoon's got Pocheck. They got the mascots in Calgary and Kelowna and all over the place on these. Very, very cool initiative by the Western Hockey League.
Yeah, and the Moose Jaw Warriors I saw did their teddy bear toss last week. The Calgary Hitmen did it on the weekend. They accumulated some 18,000 bears, the Hitmen. So these are all great things. And I was talking to my buddy Tony Plater this morning, and he said, what the junior teams do in the community is tenfold more than anybody else. The delivering of the pizza, the have a heart night, the teddy bear toss, the stuff the junior teams do are unbelievable. And while you might think they don't get enough credit for it, we all remember, like, they're iconic things. Everybody knows about them.
Well, and that's what they can't do right now, is they can't get out to the communities. They can't deliver those toys to the kids in the hospitals. And that's what's tough right now. So at least they're still finding creative ways to do those community initiatives. That's
cool. So go to your local WHL team website for details on how you can help out with Toys for Tots. That's the Pats, and they sent that in for us to mention. But go to your local teams. They're all doing it. Sports update, Lamar Jackson ran for 94 yards and a touchdown, and the Baltimore Ravens emerged from a COVID-19 outbreak to beat the Dallas Cowboys 34-17. Meanwhile, Baltimore Ravens receiver Dez Bryant was scratched against his former team after apparently testing positive for COVID. He left the field in the middle of warm-up with the team before their game against Dallas. That he was scratched. The Philadelphia Eagles are changing starting quarterbacks following a four-game losing streak. Jalen Hurts will be under center for the start of Sunday's game against the Saints. Head coach Doug Peterson insisted the decision was his. Because coaches never lie, right?
Right, never.
It's only been in the media for weeks that the owner wanted the quarterback change. What a disaster the Eagles are 2 years after winning the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Blue Jays outfielder, former Blue Jays outfielder, Jose Cruz Jr., is joining the Detroit Tigers coaching staff. The team announced the 46-year-old Cruz will focus on hitting instruction. He played 12 years in the bigs for Seattle, Toronto, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, Arizona, Boston, the Dodgers, San Diego, and Houston from 97 to 08. And isn't it interesting, Clark? I'm sure his ears perked up. Just last week, we were talking with the Blue Jays, and they offered up Jose Cruz Jr. to come on the show. So now he'll be coming as the Detroit Tigers assistant coach.
Very cool.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Loving our Blue Jays! Forge FC's long-distance CONCACAF league campaign ended in Honduras with a 1-0 loss to CD Marathon in a play-in match with a berth in the CONCACAF Champions League on the line. Honduras was the fourth stop on the Canadian Premier League champion Central American adventure after El Salvador, Panama, and the Dominican Republic. So, did the Caribbean choose not to participate in the pandemic?
Among others.
It would seem.
It would seem.
This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings and... Clark, if you can put it up on my monitor, although it looks like my monitor may have frozen, there is a special fundraiser this Friday night that Ballers is putting on for pickup and curbside pickup, takeout, however you do. They're doing burgers, right? If there's any way that you can put that up. My best suggestion to you is to go to the Ballers social media feeds. Go to their Instagram primarily, because that's where all the information will be at Ballers Rec Room. Very easy to follow on Instagram, and they're doing a fundraiser this Friday night. So let them do the cooking.
Absolutely.
With burgers and fries. I do have a small pet peeve while I'm sitting here right now. I believe charity starts at home. I'm about to go on a Don Cherry-esque rant here right now. And don't clip this as Rod's rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, because TSN would fry me for doing it, but all I see is soccer, 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 soccer. And I didn't see, and forgive me if I missed it, but I didn't see any expose on the BC Lions naming co-GMs in Neil McAvoy and Rick Campbell, or Edmonton, extending Brock Sunderland in a big interview with him. Yet soccer, 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 up the wazoo. Now, I understand a lot of kids in this country grew up playing soccer. I didn't. And that's why I'm not a soccer guy. But I have lived in this country my entire life. And there are still core concepts and principles that are the Canadian Football League and junior hockey and the minor pro teams the American Hockey League has enough franchises. And let's forget the National Lacrosse League, hey, with five teams in Canada that TSN doesn't even know exists. What the hell is going on with the soccer? I have nothing against soccer, but they are not in the realm of these other leagues and teams that we grew up with. What have I missed? Are you with me or am I totally crazy?
It's a good question. I never go either side that far. I'm sitting here trying to understand it. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, there's a reason. Maybe the programming is coming in that much cheaper because it's being produced somewhere
else. Ding, 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 ding. That's number one right there.
You know, potentially they don't see a drop off in audience from Sports Center regular audience to when they put that on. And maybe there's a swell, you know, groundswell of young Canadians that are into it.
Maybe there are.
And maybe they're investing in the next generation. But it is a far cry from what we're used to. It used to be that the Saturday, Sunday mornings would be full of soccer. And then, you know, during the week, you'd get football, you'd get basketball, you'd get a lot of hockey. You'd see more college hockey, right? I thought we'd see more of that, more junior hockey, things like that. But, it is odd because it is a lot.
And I don't necessarily, I don't have anything against soccer. The soccer people in this province have been wonderful to us. I'm just wondering how it's overtaken all these other leagues. And I don't mind. TSN's got five channels. They got a lot of airtime to fill. I don't mind the games. But when we're talking about SportsCenter and you have an hour to fill and all we're talking about is UEFA, I'm like, why are we talking about European soccer when we have all this going on in our own backyard? That's my point.
Yeah.
The MLS coverage I'll get into or this Hamilton Forge FC, I get that. I guess I should have said European soccer.
Yeah.
Anyways, here's the note from Clark. Hey, Regina. This is from Ballers. Hey, Regina, we have partnered with the Regina Christmas Wish List to help raise money for families in need by offering a COVID-friendly fundraiser for the holidays. Together, we can help them reach their goals and make an impact for many struggling families in our city. Let's work together to help support our wonderful community over the 2020 holiday season. We are doing a takeout burger night. Dine-in options are available, limited seating. Or if you just wish to donate, that is an option. Tickets are $25 each. So here's Ballers. Here are restaurants that are just taking it in the pills, and they're doing something for a fundraiser for families that are struggling this time of year. What does that tell you about those guys and girls with Amanda there managing?
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Great stuff.
So that's what we're doing Friday night, and I know you're doing it too.
Yep.
You've been nominated.
I'm in.
John Kirby in Edmonton says, TSN doesn't think there's a big enough audience for the National Lacrosse League or the junior hockey. And Jack in Alberta says, seems like TSN has given up on the CFL. There's a whole lot of interesting things going on there. William May says, I agree. We have lots of sports that our sports networks can promote. And the TV networks are saying, it's not our job to promote them. That's not our job.
Bingo. Bingo. But that was kind of a little bit of the CBC, paid for by taxpayers. That's different a little bit. But TSN's not here to promote Canadian sports. TSN's here to put entertaining programming on the air that viewers want to watch.
They're failing there at
masses so that advertisers want to spend money and they can turn a profit, right? They're a business. So clearly the decisions they make bring more viewers to the network. So then they can bring more advertisers in and make more money. So I would assume that a decision to put soccer on the air translates to more viewers. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. They're not just doing it just to do it, to be lazy. Now, if they don't see the drop-off and it's cheaper, it's a business decision.
Chris in Toronto says he's part of the Rod Squad, Chris Bird. Whether he likes it or not, he's one of our regulars. He says TSN misses the boat on lots of sports, for sure. Toronto Sports Radio, airtime content consists of Maple Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays. All the other sports are lucky to get even a mention. Junior hockey is apparently non-existent. And that's one thing, sorry to not pat ourselves on the back here, but I'm going to do it. When we looked at the analytics of this show across the country, and we were just looking at them yesterday, the top markets all have CHL teams, all of them. And we're talking, who are the cities?
All across the country.
Halifax, Montreal, Hamilton, Vancouver, all dialed into this show every day, which tells us there's an appetite for the junior hockey talk, not to mention all of the rest. And it's just a little rant that I had to get off my chest. I don't have a problem with the MLS. I think it's cool, actually. And I'll get on the Toronto FC and Vancouver Whitecaps and Montreal's changing its name. Look, I'm following that. But when it comes to Europe, you lose me.
We're guilty.
I'm sorry, you lose me.
We're big time guilty of it in sports, right? Because it's easy to talk about the Leafs and the Raptors and the Jays. And you're worried about losing your audience by investing in something else. And we do it in social media all the time, right? They love pictures, you know, whatever you know gets you likes.
Yeah.
And then you put out something else. You're like, this is great content and it doesn't get you any likes. So you don't want to post that content anymore.
My last point is that TSN was built on junior hockey and lacrosse. I was there. I watched it. And they've completely turned their back on them now. That's what I have a problem with. All right, we'll be back. Clark tells me to break it. He's right. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Okay, welcome back, and I thank all of our everybody for participating in this discussion. We're going to have to carry it over into hour two. Moving on from the network rant, that's just my thing. They're going to do what they do, and we're going to do what we do, and everybody will be fine. But my buddy, and I'm not going to name him, but he's a huge soccer fan, writes in, and basically says, hey, at least soccer's being played. He said, when's the last time? Here's the direct text. When was the last time CFL, NLL, WHL, AHL even played a game? He got me. He got me.
Yeah, he's right.
At least they're playing.
At least they're playing.
Colin in Ottawa writes in and he says, Montreal doesn't pay attention to junior hockey, Rod. The only major junior team is in a faraway suburb of Blainville, Boisbrois, and situated in a very small arena. Thank you, Colin in Ottawa. Clark's dad's watching. His name's Rod, by the way. He says, why wouldn't they tune in, Rod? Great contact, great guest, great show, period. I appreciate that, Rod. But I was watching, well, one thing about Montreal, I've spent a lot of time there, I got a ton of friends there. Love Montreal. That is a Habs town. It's very similar to Leafs. It's very similar to Riders here, these iconic franchises. It's a Rider town. It's not a football town. Toronto's not a hockey town. It's a Leaf town. Montreal's the same. They don't go to university football here. They don't go to junior football here, and they damn sure don't go to high school here. And at some point, the CHL needs to figure out that those huge markets aren't getting it. We've long known it's the PAs, the Moose Jaws, the Swift Currents, Brandons. We've known that forever. Or those mid-level size, the Reginas, the Lethbridge, the Saskatoons that can pack those barns when the chips are down. Absolutely. It's not the major centers. And by the way, the Prince Albert Raiders lost last night. I watched it. That's how big of a loser I am. I watched the CHL E-Memorial Cup. They lost to the Bay Como Drakkar 3-1. PA's bounced, which immediately I started to think what the CFL fans were saying about our sim. I'm like, this is fixed. Fixed. It's all about Eastern Canada. The Dub's getting screwed here. Doug McKell in Indian Head writes in. He says, always liked playing soccer. Never liked watching it. See, we can't necessarily like everything. I tried last week. What I say? The game went 90 minutes scoreless.
Well, that's
like, what am I supposed to do?
I know, but that's one of the issues now. Like, even when you put on Netflix, a show that you've picked and choose out of everything, you want that one. 5 minutes in, you're on your phone watching both screens at the same time.
Can't do it.
So soccer, when there's no action, you're going to be into something else.
I think even the soccer people know that. I think they know that.
But when you're into it, it's awesome.
Rachel, we'll carry your comment over next hour. Hang on, everybody. Got a rash but Danny coming up. It's going to be fun. We're moving over to Game Plus, or stick with us on Facebook Live. We'll be back after this break. I'm not this renegade, rogue, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. I'm just telling you what's actually going on.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.